chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Thank you, Brother Snyder, for the privilege of being back in the meeting again this year. Appreciate the choir tonight and also this group. Thank y'all for singing and blessing us. Thank you for all the cards that we received, especially from the young adult class. Inside that card was a gift card to Chick-fil-A. Hallelujah. Amen. I got that and I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Then I got a special card from, I think it was the 3rd and 4th grade Sunday school class. It was such a blessing. And I appreciated every one I received. Always a joy to be a brother T.D., Miss Joy. Cannot tell them what a blessing they've been to Annette and I through the years. And I'm still glad the Lord is allowing Brother T.D. to keep on keeping on. Enjoy Miss Joy to travel with him. Precious, precious friends. Brother Soup last night was great. Thank you, brother. What a good word. You're Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Say amen.
Amen.
I want to start reading there and read through verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 4. The Bible said these words. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to preach from these verses tonight on this thought. What we find at the throne of grace. What we find at the throne of grace. And may I remind you tonight that this Hebrew epistle is written for Jewish believers who had stepped out of Judaism and had embraced Christianity. As you read this book, you find that they were discouraged and were wanting to reverse their course to escape the persecution that was coming at them by their fellow Jews that were still in Judaism. And the word the writer is urging them is to press on, to keep on keeping on to maturity in Christ. And his appeal is based upon the fact that Jesus Christ is far superior over the system of Judaism. If you'll read this book, you'll find the Bible teaches us in Hebrews that Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the Aaronic priesthood. Jesus is better than the law. Over and over, the writer is urging them about the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In essence, he's saying to them, there is more to be gained by suffering for Christ than there would be by you reverting back to Judaism. In our text tonight, the emphasis is upon Jesus as our great high priest. And I want to emphasize that tonight in the message on what we find at the throne of grace. Three simple truths. Number one, you find at the throne of grace His help is efficient. His help is efficient. The writer begins in verse number 14 by magnifying the fact of the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, seeing then that we have. He is emphasizing the fact that they hold or possess present tense right now Jesus Christ as their great high priest. Not we had, not we will have, but we have right now present tense, seated in the heavens at the right hand of the throne of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. They hold that present tense. They possess that present tense. He is right now our great high priest. And by the way, not only do they possess him as their great high priest, but even better than that, he possesses them as his children. It works both ways. He not only is our great high priest and we possess him, but thank God he possesses us and will continually possess us forever and forever. We have right now. Secondly, the Bible says this. We have a great high priest. Great emphasizes the fact that the Lord Jesus was greater in his priestly character than any other of the priests of the Levitical priesthood. He was the highest high priest of them all. There might have been some good ones, but only one can bear the title of being great, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is absolutely unique. He is our great high priest. And then the writer emphasizes the fact not only of the present, the particulars, but notice thirdly, he emphasizes the passing. He tells them where he is, that is past in to the heavens. Now what's that mean, Brother Dave? That means that when Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives in Acts chapter number 1, that Jesus went above the atmospheric heaven. He went through the planetary heaven. He went to the very heaven of heavens, the dwelling place of God. And he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. That's where he is right now, this very moment. Aren't you glad to know, thank God, that when Jesus ascended, that he waved high at Jupiter and Venus and Mars and went on past them and made it to the very heavens of heavens, the third heaven, the dwelling place of God. I remember reading several years ago when Russia astronauts, they call them cosmonauts, we call them astronauts. I remember when Russia got into the space program, sent their cosmonauts up into space, and they said that they were going to find where God lived. Well, when they got back down from outer space, somebody asked them, said, did you find where God lives? They said, we never seen him. We don't know why, but we never seen God. I thought when I read that, I wished I could talk to them. I could tell them why they didn't see him. They didn't go far enough. Amen. He's up there. He's in the third heaven. He's in the very heavens of heavens, the dwelling place of God, where the Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He has passed into the heavens. Amen. The heavens. When the writer wrote this, those that were receiving this, Brother T.D., they got the picture. Because it is an illustration of when the high priest of Israel on the Day of Atonement went into the temple or to the tabernacle, when he went through the holy place And when he went into the holies of holies with that blood offering, and went in there to the holies of holies where the mercy seat was and the Ark of the Covenant was, where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt, and placed upon that mercy seat offering that would cover with atone for the sins of the nation for just 1 year. Amen. It just covered them, preacher. It just covered them. It did not forgive them. It just covered them. But the writer said, hey, you've got a high priest that when he passed into the heavens, he took his very blood, his own blood, and that he shed on the cross of Calvary, and he placed it on the mercy seat in heaven. Once and for all, he made atonement. He forgave. He covered. He did away with our sins. Once and for all. Amen. Amen. You say, Brother Dave, what are you saying? I'm saying he passed into the heavens. Once and for all. If you look at the structure of that verb, it has the thought of something that happened in the past, but still has present results. What's that mean, preacher? It means though it happened some 2,000 years ago, it's just as real, it's just as fresh. It's valuable, hallelujah, to the believer as if it happened today, amen. He passed into the heavens, amen. He passed in to the heavens. There's the present. There's the particular. There's the passing. But then you notice this. There's the pronouncement. Jesus, the Son of God. Now that interests me. Why did the writer choose to identify our great high priest with those two titles? Why could he not have just said, Jesus, let us hold fast our profession? Why could not he have said, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession? Why did the Holy Ghost of God lead him to write Jesus, the Son of God? Well, it wasn't an accident. It's there for a reason. Jesus speaks of his humanity. Son of God speaks of his deity. Jesus speaks of his human name. Matthew 1:21. The angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Son of God is his heavenly name. You say, now, Brother Dave, what in the world does that have to do with me tonight? A whole bunch. And here's that whole bunch. As Jesus, he is man. His humanity. And that gives him the ability to identify with your needs. He knows tonight, as the God-man, everything right now that you are feeling, facing, fighting, or fearing. You say, Brother Dave, nobody knows. Oh, yes, there's one that does. Jesus does. Because he was man. He was the God-man. And he has the ability to identify with your needs. Now here's something tonight that you need to understand. Man may have the ability, man like us, to identify with others' needs. You may come up to me and share your needs tonight, and I can say, well, I know I've been through that. I know exactly what you're going through, what you're feeling, facing, fighting, what you're fearing. I've been there before. And then something can say, I can look at you and say, I know I can identify with you. But you see, sometimes I'm powerless. I can't fix it. I can't change it. I can't solve it. Why? Because I'm man. I'm humanity. But I'm telling you tonight, we have a great high priest whose help is sufficient. Because he's not only Jesus in the sense that he can identify with what you're feeling, facing, fighting, and fearing. But he is the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he has the power to fix what you're feeling, facing, fighting, and fearing. He has the power to solve what you're feeling, facing, fighting, and fearing. He has the power to do something about what you're feeling, facing and fearing. Why, Brother Dave? Because Jesus, the Son of God, is our great high priest. Amen. And his help is efficient. So the writer says, first of all, let me just remind you about the supremacy of Christ, who your great high priest is. But then secondly, he says, when you see that, when that gets a hold of you, then you ought to have strength to continue. Notice the next phrase. Let us hold fast our profession. What's that mean, Brother Dave? That literally means your testimony. Your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your profession. You say, preacher, I just don't know how that I'm going to get through what I'm going through. It's bad around my place. Hey! You have a great high priest tonight that's seated at the right hand of God the Father, that knows exactly what you're facing, feeling, fighting, and fearing. And he can help you, give you what you need so that you can hold fast your profession. Amen. You better hear me tonight. I believe the coming of Christ is nearer than it's ever been. And I don't know exactly what we're going to face before Jesus comes. I believe the Bible teaches without reservation tonight the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I've not bought beanie weenies. I've not built me a shelter somewhere to try to stay in during the tribulation. No, sir. I'm getting out of here before the tribulation period begins. And I want to tell you tonight, nobody knows what we may see before he comes. And you better know where to go to find what you need that will enable you to hold fast your profession. You say, Brother Dave, where can you find it? And tell you where you can find it. You can find it at the throne of grace. Amen. Because at the throne of grace, his help is efficient. insufficient. So there's a third thing. Right here, there's the supremacy of Christ. There is the strength to continue. But notice this. There is the summons to come. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We're to draw near with confidence. Why, Brother Dave? Because verse 15 says that we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our strengthlessness. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. That word boldly means this. It doesn't mean that you run up to God in arrogance. It doesn't mean you run up to God and order Him like you would some servant. It doesn't mean you stick your finger in God's face and tell Him what you want Him to do. Listen to me. Folks have misinterpreted this word. It means with confidence, with freedom of speech, that you can bear your heart to the Lord and tell Him the very contents of your heart. You don't have to hold back a thing, neighbor. You can tell Him all about it. And you might as well tell Him all about it, because He already knows all about it anyway. Amen. And matter of fact, you don't have to worry about Him telling somebody else what you tell Him. A tattler. He's not a gossiper. You can tell Him the truth, the very dictates of your heart, and you can have confidence when you come, freedom of speech, to the throne of grace. Every time I preach that thought, I think about the three preachers that got together one day and went out fishing. Fishing was not too good that day, so they began to share with one another. And they began to share some faults that they had in their lives. I'm going to ask each one to pray for one another. The first preacher said, well, boys, I want to tell you, I've got a problem with gambling. He said, just every once in a while, I've got to go buy a lottery ticket. I've got to do a little gambling. And he said, I've got a problem with gambling. He said, would y'all boys pray for me, please? I need to quit this gambling. By the way, Christians don't have no business gambling. Amen. It's kind of quiet. I feel a cool breeze now. It wasn't the air conditioner. Amen. Amen. The second preacher said, well, boys, I want to tell you my problem. I got a problem with drinking. He said, every once in a while, I just want to have a drink, take a little drink. Let me say this. I don't think Christians got no business drinking. Yes, amen. Amen. You say, not even socially? Not even socially. Amen. Amen. Read your church covenant. Amen. That got quiet. Amen. He said, I've got a problem drinking. He said, I know I ought not drink, but said, would you pray for me? Quit this drinking. Third preacher just sat over there not saying a word. He wasn't going to say anything. He just sat there. Finally, one of them looked at him and said, what's your problem? He said, I don't want to say nothing. I won't say nothing. Finally, they persuaded him, and he said, boys, I hate to tell you, but my problem's gossiping, and I can't wait to get this boat back to the shore. May I tell you tonight, you don't have to worry about what you tell him. When you fall on your knees at the throne of grace, he's not going to gossip on you. He's not going to tell on you. He's not going to go blow it out somewhere. You can come boldly with freedom of speech and bow your heart to your great high priest. Amen. What it means. And bow your heart. So what do you find at the throne of grace, Brother Dave? Number one, you find help that's efficient. You find help that's efficient. Number two, you find his heart is exposed. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. I don't know about you, but I need mercy. You need mercy. We need mercy. And every time that God extends to us mercy, he is withholding from us that which we deserved. I've needed mercy ever since I got saved. I needed mercy when he saved me. And I've needed mercy ever since I've been saved. And thank God that he exposes his heart. You say, Brother Dave, why does God give us mercy? Why does God show us mercy, preacher? It is God exposing his heart to us. Every time he shows you mercy, it is him saying to you, I love you. I love you. I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to extend to you mercy. I'm going to withhold from you what you deserve.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You listening? There's been times that I've come to the throne of grace since I've been saved. And if I'd got justice, I'd been in trouble. I should have got justice. But God exposed his heart to me. And God showed me mercy. Why did he do it, preacher? Because you're a preacher? No. Why did he do it? Because you're a good? No. He done it because he loves me. And he does it for you because he loves you. Every time God extends his mercy in your life, he is exposing his heart to you, saying to you, I love you. You're my child. Amen. You're my child. You can find mercy at the throne of grace. God's heart's exposed. Number three, at the throne of grace, you can find God's hands extended. The Bible said that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. Somebody said, well, Brother Dave, I think I deserve grace. Hey, who told you that? Amen. Oh, no. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is God extending his hand to us, saying, I'm going to show you my. Thank God tonight that we still have the privilege to come before a throne of grace. One day it's going to become a throne of justice and judgment. But tonight, it's still a throne of grace. And I want you to notice what it says, particularly It says, find grace. Find grace. You say, now, Brother Dave, what's that mean? Well, it don't mean that grace is lost. What it means that the believer comes before the throne of grace with a purposeful search. They need in their life the extended hand of God. God's favor upon them. Thus they come searching, finding grace in their time of need. You see, whether it's needs, infirmities, weaknesses, whatever it is tonight, we face two challenges as believers. Number one, we can choose to submit and bow and draw near to the throne of grace and bring our petitions and prayers before the Father. Or we can stiffen our neck, refusing to humble ourselves, try to handle ourselves, and miss His grace. James chapter 4, verse number 6 said, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Are you listening? What you can find tonight at the throne of grace. And there are some of you in this building tonight that has needs bigger than you, infirmities greater than you, weaknesses that you are powerless to fix in your life. God says, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You're going to find that my help is efficient. You're going to find that my heart is exposed. And you're going to find my hand is extended. But if you refuse and stiffen your neck in pride, walk out of here tonight without being helped, you have missed the grace of God. You missed it because you have resisted His call. Thank God, there's still some things that you can find at the throne of grace. If here tonight and you've never been saved, you listen to Brother David just a moment. You ought to clap your hands three times tonight that it is still a throne of grace. Because one day it's going to become a throne of judgment. And those that have refused the clear call of the gospel are not going to have the opportunity to go before a throne of grace. But they're going to go before a throne of God's government. And God is going to look at you and say to you, you refused. You refused to hear my voice and heed my words. And therefore, you're you will not have the opportunity to come to Christ. But tonight, thank God, it's still a throne of grace. And sinners can come and plunge themselves before that throne of grace. And they can find that God's help is efficient. God's heart is exposed. And God's hand is extended. Would you pray? Father, thank you. Thank you that there is a grace tonight that we can come before and find your help that's efficient, your heart that's exposed, and your hand that's extended. Lord, you hadn't sent me down here to Georgia from Alabama to preach to the walls. There's somebody here tonight that needs to come and find help tonight at the throne of grace. The need of their life, the infirmity of their life, the weakness of their life, the answer to those things will only be found at the throne of grace. Humble before you, bearing their petition with confidence and freedom. May somebody tonight be helped. I pray for that one that's lost. May they realize tonight that you beckon them to come. And Lord, at the throne of grace, they can find your glorious salvation by simply confessing the need. They're a sinner. To the Savior for sinners. Dear God, you'll save them if they'll call upon you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there one say, Brother Dave? Preacher, I've got needs in my life. I've got infirmities, weaknesses. I need to make a trip to the throne of grace tonight. I need God. God to help me. God to work in my life. God to extend his hand, to expose his heart, to give me help that's efficient. Would you come right now? Find a place to pray. Come to the throne of grace. If you're lost tonight, if you're lost, never trusted Christ as your Savior. Would you come tonight? Trust him and be saved. Father, this right now, this invitation, God, I commit to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost of God, work in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand?